So, how many of you were not here last Sunday? Raise your hand. Okay, so last Sunday, something happened. Dr. Jane was doing the talk, and she went into channeling. Right as she was doing her thing, she's up here, and all of a sudden, well, here, I captured it. Here we go. What is the sound? Sound? That's right. We're okay now? Oh, you say I'm on?
Yeah, it should be.
It should happen now, right? It's not. The sound isn't. I have sound here on the laptop over here, but no sound? Nope. You're not getting anything on that end? Okay, hang on. Let me see if I can re-enter the room. Hang on a second. This is worth it. Okay. Here we go. Let's try it again. If it doesn't work, then oh well. All right, here we go. See if we can.
Our brain is like a radio receiver. We use it to tune into the collective memory that is held in our morphogenic field. And here's the good news, bad news. It's through our predominant thinking, our beliefs, our actions, we contribute to that field. And truly, we need to stop peeing in the pool. I know. It wasn't on the page. Yeah, I must have channeled my husband for a minute there.
So that's what you missed last Sunday. If you know, Jane and I, when we consider what we're going to be sharing, we imagine every one of you, every single Sunday, are kind of following along. And I know that that's not true, and it's no way possible for it to be true, but that's sort of what goes into our heads when we're kind of thinking about things. And so it's like last Sunday I was thinking about what Jane landed on. And then I just, anyway. So let me start my talk. So I'm wanting us to have a sense of understanding what the effort is. In other words, we're in our life, we know we got to work on our stuff, and we have to kind of deal with what's happening in our world. And depending upon what our situation or issue or where we are in our life, the things that affect us are different for everybody. Some are dealing with health challenges, some are dealing with relational issues, all kinds of stuff that's happening in our life. And so we gather together, and we're coming knowing that each of us is in our own way kind of looking for whatever support we can get to rise above our conditions, our circumstances. And so I'm wanting to have a clarity around what should we be focused on, that no matter what the situation is, when we're dealing with what's happening, this is what we can do that makes the difference, that shifts us into a different experience in our life. Wouldn't you like to have a sense of what that might be that we can kind of grapple with? Well, for me, it's important for me to have identified where it is in my life that I suffer. When am I creating my own suffering in my own life? And it's valuable for us to see when and how we do that to ourselves. Because just think, if we clean up our own self-imposed discomforts, then much of what we struggle with will vanish. I mean, just think about that for a moment. If we just invest a little bit of time and effort in understanding and having some awareness and knowledge about the systems that kind of run us when we're not conscious, we can focus on waking up and understanding what's happening so that we can make systematic progress in you know, developing our own sense of well-being and worth to the point where the things that are happening in the outer don't touch us the same way. And so for me, I suffer whenever I confuse myself with what I have. So think about that for a moment. Whenever you confuse yourself with whatever you have, that's setting ourselves up for suffering. So what are the things that we have that we confuse ourselves with? We confuse ourselves with our body. We confuse ourselves with our story. We confuse ourselves with our things. And whenever what's going on with our what we have, or even what we don't have, we're affected by that. Can you see how that's so? Can you see how you, in your own life, when you're so identified, in other words, your identity is living in the context of what you have or don't have, your well-being is affected by what you have or don't have. Can you see that relationship? So, okay, there's one piece that we have to kind of have a practice around to kind of recover from, because we don't want to continually set ourselves up for that kind of discomfort. Always being identified by what's happening in the outer. I mean, wouldn't that seem to be a logical way to kind of improve our life if we're no longer tethered to, or our well-being is affected by, how we're having our life? And then when we look at, or I look at my, the other aspect of my discomfort, my suffering, happens when I'm being who I am not. When I'm being my inadequacy. When I'm being my sense of unworthiness. When I'm being less than. When I be that with whatever I'm having will be against me. And so when I have a life that feels and looks against me, I need to know that, know in certain terms, it's a mirror unto who I am not. And if I don't know that, I'm going to decide that my discomfort's caused by what's happening out there, instead of recognizing that what's in here is drawing the mirror into proximity, and my soul welcomes the mirror, even though I don't. Because from time to time, I try to get God to change the way the mirror works. Have you ever prayed to God to get God to change the way your life looks or feels? Because that's what's going on. We're asking the universe not to work this way. But that very mechanism that exposes me by virtue of my emotional system, when I feel discomfort, I'm out of integrity with my own spirit. Because whenever I have someone or something against me or someone the matter with me, I'm living in the disconnect. I'm in my unconscious small self. And if I recognize that that's what's really going on, then my recovery, my reconciliation, my freedom, my liberation comes from reconciling that disconnect within. And not letting the outer distract me from that tension. So for me, as I consider, 95% of our behavior arises from a programmed aspect or a conditioned aspect of ourselves, then we need to recognize that for the most part we're ill-equipped to know when we're unconscious or even awake. Because we're not looking at how we're co-creating our life. We're not looking at the mechanism of what happens when we have a thought and a feeling, and that leads to an action or a behavior, and that interacts with what's happening in the outer. If we don't see, that's called metacognition, how our own thoughts and feelings are creating our experience, then we won't monitor that and look at what's going on inside of us. So for me, I've had to become clearer about the distinction between my unconscious self and my conscious self, my small self and the higher self. And in that effort to be clear so that I'm knowing what's happening and how I am kind of asleep when I don't know the distinction between those two dynamics, self and higher self, or unconscious and being awake, then it's important that I get clear about that, because that's how I'm going to extricate myself out of the patterns that keep me focused on looking outside of myself for my well-being and worth, as well as looking outside of myself for a source of my discomfort. So I have used a way in which I've created this as an effort for me to understand my own small self, my own self system. So if we think about yourself, who you are as a person, and understand that when we even talk about ourselves as a person, we're really talking about our experience in the story of separation, in the phenomenon of separation. So let's keep in mind that while we can look at the circuitry of our self system, we also have to understand that this self system can become unconscious. It can be problematic. So as we consider who we are, we can say we're somebody, someone, something, somewhere, and sometime. And over time, we develop habits. And those habits habituate us to certain patterns of living. But for the most part, these patterns represent an unconscious self, or a small self, or a self that is burdened by self-imposed limitation. And if we don't kind of recognize that, for the most part, our life is running us as opposed to we're intentionally deciding how we're going to be with what's happening. So to find out if you're kind of caught up in this unconscious circuitry, how often do you decide, I'm not going to be with this situation the way I'm feeling about it right now? We rarely do that, but can we not see that unless we exercise that intentionality with respect to how we are experiencing our moment, we are letting our moment inform us as to how to feel, instead of deciding how we're going to be with what's happening in our life and recognizing that that's our job. So as we kind of begin to kind of recognize, okay, if we have a circuitry that's a body-mind dynamic, there's nothing that you can't operate on your beingness or the part of you that takes action because of that, or what happens that gives you a sense of identity through what you begin to possess, and how that makes you feel and what that reinforces in terms of your beliefs and how that tells the story of your life. If we don't understand that those things are not material things but have to do with the body-mind dynamic, then we can kind of see that, well, the circuits above tell me how I'm having my life, and the circuits down below is my proof, my story. And so one of the things I need to know for myself is that I'm unconscious when I'm having my life against me. That's the first principle I need to carry with me as I'm focusing my effort to extricate myself into a place of occupying and inhabiting my higher self. And as I'm able to recognize whenever I feel discomfort, it's mirroring my disconnect, then my recovery has to be about extricating myself from my small self. In other words, I have to step into a larger version of me that is being eclipsed by who I am not, or my identification with what I have or don't have. And if I don't recognize that this is my work, then this work doesn't get done. All right, so the dynamic of landing on some form of spiritual practice has to involve the whole, our whole self, the body-mind. Okay, that's why Dr. Joe Dispenza says we have to recondition the body to a new mind, because our body has basically learned all of our habits and then craves for the chemical and emotional cocktails that come from all of those programmed and addictive behaviors that comprise our personal reality, our personal life. So as we look at, okay, how can we get out of this experience of our unconscious self? The body-mind dynamic is part of the challenge. And so Dr. Joe talks about a phenomenon that is important for us to appreciate and value. And he says, if you took your attention off your body, I mean, just imagine for a moment, taking your attention off your body, you're not going to think about your body. off your life. You're not going to think about what's going on in your life. Off your identity. You're not going to think about who you are, what your responsibilities are. Off the things that you own, the people that you know, the places that you've been. If you take your attention off the concept of time, the only thing that you have left, I mean, you're still alive, it's just that you've brought your awareness outside of the mind-body process, and now you are just consciousness, your awareness, seeking to attach itself to something. And so if we could just be in the practice of not identifying with our conditioned self or the body-mind experience and wonder, is there an experience that transcends my body, my individuality, my sense of separate self? And there is, and that is we have to understand the dynamic just as we can understand the dynamic of our small self as being a dynamic of being some body, someone, something, somewhere, and some time. We can understand the dynamic of our higher self. And so we can think of our higher self system as being these three dynamics. So in these dynamics, there's no circuitry with respect to the mind-body process. There is just this dimension of energy and information and a dynamic that we can connect to that can free our minds into an awareness of our greater self. And it's not to say that we lose our connection with what's going on in the world, but we bring that connection and the information that we glean from that dimension of ourself into how we're having our life. And so we can just imagine, if we're free from all the trappings of our self-imposed limitations, we can be the one unto our life. We can choose to be anybody, anyone, anything, anywhere, anytime. That we're not conditioned when we lift ourselves out of our programmed state, our small s self, the habits of our unconscious circuitry. We can do that. And when we are able to do that, we're opening ourselves to a great dimension of healing and well-being. And Jane talked last Sunday about really welcoming the discomfort, uncomfortable feelings and what they're connected to. A sense when you're in the sense of not enough and you want to get more, just recognize that everybody, when they're in their sense of not enough, wants to get more. And when you can connect up knowing that everyone, there's nobody that does not want to get more when they're feeling that sense of not enough, that spaciousness that connects you up to the interbeing, the everybody, the everyone, the everything, the everywhere and every time dimension of ourself, begins to open up a spaciousness. You can bring that spaciousness back down to what you're having in your life. And then there is the dimension of ourself that's the field of infinite possibilities, that we can access that dimension, the unified field, where we can experience the part of us that is nobody, that is no one, and no thing, and nowhere, and no time, our eternal self. And as we recognize this is the dimension of our higher self, that we extricate ourselves from the habits of our conditioned, unconscious self system by recognizing that there is this and enter into the experience of this higher dimension of ourselves. Now, this is not make-believe. This is a reality. This is a dimension that has no external counterpart, so we can't gather evidence or proof. We have to only have experience of it. And so there are ways in which we can bring spiritual practice to cultivate a relationship that grows over time, that brings us into the experience of this energetic field called our higher self. Okay, my talk is entitled A Tale of Two Struggles. So the two struggles are very clearly, our first struggle is to separate from our discomfort. That's the struggle that we'll fail in. And the fact that we have that as our default way of being with whatever's happening in our life reminds us that we're conditioned to struggle. We are conditioned to have our life hard, harder than it is. And so we can free ourselves from that conditioning, but we have to exercise a metacognitive capacity called differentiation. We have to be capable of differentiating our self, our small self, from our higher self. We have to differentiate who we truly are from who we are not. Because when we don't, when we mistakenly believe that who we are, you know, how we're being with what's happening, that it comes from our shadow side or our sense of disconnect, this is not the truth of us, but it's something that we have. We have to recognize, I have a belief that I'm not enough. I have a belief that I'm inadequate. I have a belief that I'm less than. But that's not the truth of me. Here's my shadow card. I believe these things. There's a part of the grown-up Gary that believes this about himself and has all the evidence and the stories to tell about how I've been a disappointment or whatever. And all of us have the same kind of stories. How many of you have a cue card, shadow card? As you look around, those of you who are new in this ministry, you see that this is a part of the culture of this ministry to do this deeper work. And it's a recognition that whenever I'm being with whatever I'm having out of this dimension of my small self, it has to look and feel against me. And when I react and interact with that, which is the illusion that I've created that's trying to wake me up, I further deepen myself into those unconscious patterns. But when I recognize that there comes from a dimension of me that is all about me being the one, remember the one is anybody, anywhere, anybody, anyone, anywhere, anything, anywhere, and anytime. When I am on my qualities of being side of myself, I'm coming from that dimension that can be with whatever I'm having out of any of those qualities and use whatever is happening as if it's my abundance. But if I'm on the wrong side of that card, I can't do that. And when we recognize that that's the struggle is to create choice points that get us on the right side of how we're being with what's happening in our life, then it becomes very clear. I can use whatever is happening, whatever is arising up from within me as evidence. Okay, I'm living in my unconscious self system. So I need to do something now in the moment before I even interact. I have to say to this, whatever's happening here, give me 5 minutes. I'll be back. And then I have to get myself right. I have to reconnect myself up and relink my conscious intention and awareness to what is really happening in this moment. This that looks and feels against me is a mirror to that part of me that still believes in those qualities that I'm trying to free myself from. So wherever we have someone or something the matter with us, we need to know that there's the little boy or little girl in us that is yet to be blessed by a consciousness of parenting that only apparently Mary and Joseph possessed. But a consciousness of parenting that we have to bring to that little boy or little girl that abides within us. We have to do that. Nobody else can do that for us. And until we recognize that that's our work, we will try to fix whatever is going on that's wrong out there. So it's just four things to remember. Put this to memory. Gratitude, curiosity, self-compassion, authentic action. If you'll just kind of, regardless of what's happening in your life, regardless of whatever challenge it is, it doesn't matter. These four steps will affect a shift that takes you out of your unconscious self-system circuits. So the first I'm going to talk about is gratitude. And we've had much to say about gratitude as being a foundation for really being present to whatever's happening. It gets us lined up because only in gratitude, in the state of gratitude, a state is when the mind and the body are in alignment or when the thoughts or feelings are in alignment. Only in the state of gratitude can we be in alignment with the field of infinite possibilities. Because if there's anything that happens that says it has to be this way, the field shuts down. We have to have the entire field present. That means we have to welcome whatever is present in order for us to get into that field. Let's hear what Dr. Joe says about gratitude.
When a person shows up in a doctor's office, and they're given the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis or MS, cancer, diabetes, the common emotions they experience is either fear are sadness. They can think positively all they want. They can say, I'm going to overcome this condition. But if they are feeling fear, that thought never makes it past the brainstem into the body because it's not in alignment with the body's emotional state. You get that person to change their emotional state and get them into a state of gratitude. Why gratitude? We normally give thanks when we get something. Your body is believing it's receiving something because the emotional signature of gratitude means it's already happened. So when a person is beginning to experience gratitude, they're more prone to accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to that emotional state, and they begin to program their autonomic nervous system.
So the whole idea of gratitude is that in the moment, no matter how a situation looks or feels, you welcome it and you are grateful for it because it places you in a place of having access to that part of yourself that is living in the disconnect. So when I received 4 years ago the diagnosis of stage 4 metastatic melanoma with over 30 tumors within my body, I welcomed it. I was grateful because it really meant for me this was my one thing where I get to be the one. I get to be anybody with this cancer. I can be anyone with this cancer I want to be. I can be anything that I want to be with this cancer. And so the idea of knowing that I'm empowered to choose how I'm going to be with this situation was the first step. And so as we see that giving ourselves the opportunity to open to possibilities that live outside of our structures of knowing is a gift, it's a blessing to be able to know that the universe knows what we don't know. But we can't access that unless we have curiosity about that, unless we can take the next step. How is it possible I'm making this not enough? What's up with that? How is it possible that I'm making my life hard? Why do I do that? And if we don't ask these questions of our own self, we'll never know why it is we do that. Now, I know why I make my life friggin' hard. And I still make my life harder than it needs to be, but I know what's going on about that, and so I'm not judging myself. When I'm in my struggle, I'm just recognizing, wow, look at what Gary is still doing. And the moment I realize that, I can't realize that with trying to deal with my discomfort. I have to become curious as to what's arising within me. And I see, oh, yes, it's still that part of me that is still stuck in that state. And so I can free myself quickly because I realize it's just a small self. It's just the circuits. It's just my programming. I have no allegiance to my programs because they haven't served the greater good. And then when we recognize that, the bottom line is we wouldn't have anything or anyone against us if there wasn't the little boy or little girl in us. And to know that, you know, when I have to deal with my life being so hard, it has nothing to do with what's going on out there. It has to do with this relationship. I have to have compassion for little Gary and for all the mistakes that Gary has made in his journey to try to know his worth. I mean, what have you done? What has had to happen for you to know your worth? And we're still trying to accept all of it. You feeling me?
Yes.
Yeah. And so then we get to a place where our effort leads us to some kind of external doing. You know, we have to kind of get connected up to the part of us that wants to matter with what's happening. And so instead of coming out of some conditioned, unconscious way of doing and being in our life, we have to have a greater sense of authenticity, authentic being, conscious doing. And that gives rise to an activity that reconditions the whole body-mind. You see, that's the beauty of this work, is because while having the task of reconditioning this body to a new mind, I mean, how do you do that? these are the steps. But remember, the action, it has to land on you doing something, making amends, taking care of yourself, getting a massage, whatever it takes for you to demonstrate that you are worthy of being you is what you need to do. All right, so wrapping this up. Everything that's happening in your life, you can be with it. But you really need to recognize that it's either a mirror or a portal. You get to choose how you want to work with what's going on. Either way, it will be fine. But one will be more fun than the other. God bless you.